Penguin Random House Audio presents Sisters in Yellow, a novel by Miyako Kawakami, translated by Laurel Taylor and Hitomi Yoshio, narrated by Annie Q. Regal. Chapter 1. Reunion. 1. I used to think I'd never forget her, no matter where I ended up. No matter how many years passed, no matter what happened to me. But once I saw her name in that article on the web, I realized I'd forgotten everything about her, her name, her existence, the time we'd spent together, what we'd done, and of course, the fact I'd believed I'd never forget her. Kimiko Yoshikawa. For a second, I wondered if maybe it was somebody with the same name. But I couldn't shake the feeling that it was the Kimiko I used to know. Kimiko Yoshikawa, 60, an unemployed Shinjuku resident, appeared in Tokyo District Court on December 23rd for her first public hearing. Yoshikawa has been charged with blackmail, abduction, and battery. She allegedly confined the victim, a woman in her 20s from Ichikawa, Chiba, to a room in her Shinjuku apartment, where she battered the young woman over a 15-month period. During the arraignment, Yoshikawa invoked her right to remain silent. Her attorney entered a plea of not guilty on her behalf. In opening remarks, the prosecution stated that the victim moved in with Yoshikawa in 2017 after a period of prolonged housing instability. The two initially lived together without incident, but the defendant began to take control of the woman's personal belongings and social life, monitoring her movements. On multiple occasions, the defendant threatened the victim, telling her she'd never survive on her own, and subsequently breaking her will to escape. She was eventually locked in the apartment under the defendant's control and was repeatedly beaten and forced to follow the defendant's orders. The incident came to light last May, when the woman escaped and alerted the authorities. I read the article 3 times, and once I had, I tried to exhale the huge lump that had formed deep in my chest. My fingers were trembling. It was her, Kimiko. It had to be her. I searched the name, Kimiko Yoshikawa, which brought up one similar article and another report just a few lines long, both detailed with only the bare minimum. My other returns were websites suggesting names for baby girls or offering fortune-telling based on the kanji in a given name. On the internet, my Kimiko didn't exist outside the information I'd already found. I tried to put my thoughts in order. I went back to the page I'd first read and checked the date. January 10th, 2020. 3 months ago. And the article said the incident itself took place last year, in May 2019. No matter how carefully I read, I couldn't wrap my head around that day, that year. I understood that it had been 3 months since Kimiko's first court date, but I didn't understand what that meant for the victim and the others involved. How had they been affected? How had everything unfolded in court? What would happen to Kimiko? Where could I go to find out? I had no idea how police investigations or prisons worked. What came to mind were bleak gray cells, handcuffs, stone-faced judges, courtroom sketches, ham-fisted scenes I'd seen on crime shows or in the news, and Kimiko's face. Kimiko, the way she looked those few years we'd lived together, back when I was young, some 20 years ago. The article said she was 60. I couldn't believe it. Of course, 2 decades had passed. I was 40 now, but attaching the number 60 to Kimiko's name seemed somehow unreal. I closed my eyes and told myself I'd be okay. I had nothing to do with what had happened in Kimiko's Shinjuku apartment. There was nothing to worry about. I didn't know what Kimiko had been doing these past 20 years. We weren't in contact. In no sense did we have anything to do with each other. All that was long past, finished. Whatever else she'd done wasn't public.